104.5 The Zone, 635. This is the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Our website is allfourseasonsgarages.com. Family owned and operated right here in Nashville. Let's head to Knoxville from Sports Radio WNML. The one and only Jimmy Himes joins us now. Jimmy, what's going on?
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm good. Tennessee and Alabama, late night start tomorrow night over in Tuscaloosa, 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern. Do you get any feel for Brian Maurer and whether he starts tomorrow night? I know he's been taking some reps this week.
I don't have a very good feel for it. My guess is he won't play. I know he's been taking reps. It's hard for me to imagine a guy having a concussion and then being able to play. Now, the situation, I think there are different levels of concussions. Doctors have argued there's no such thing as that. But Maurer, after his concussion, he stayed on the sideline. He cheered along his teammates. He was not affected by crowd noise, which a lot of people are when they have a concussion. So maybe it's not as significant as others. Riley Lockwood, for example, had a concussion a couple weeks ago. He's not playing. But with Maurer, it doesn't seem like he was affected as badly as Locklear. My guess is he won't play, but who knows? I think they're supposed to figure that out today, whether he can actually make the trip. We'll see, but my guess is no.
Both lines played well, and I know weekly honors kind of are what they are from the conference, but it had to be rewarding for Trey Smith to get that recognition from the SEC, just given what all he's gone through simply to play.
Yeah, he played really well. I think that he's gotten better pretty much every week. I think that he has learned and adjusted from the limited practice routine that he has, where he really has no contact during the week, and then he plays on game day on Saturday. And I wasn't sure that would work, but they have found a plan that's enabled him to do that. And frankly, early in the year, I didn't think he was playing that well, but I think he's gotten better and better. Some people think that's the best game he's played in a Tennessee uniform. I can't say it's the best. I mean, I don't know if he had a better game as a freshman or not. I don't know that. But I'll say this, it was the best game he's had this year. He graded out highly, had like 11 knockdown blocks, and certainly it was gratifying for him to play at that level.
We all know what Tennessee's up against. Tua's a Heisman candidate, and Alabama's receivers are about as good as we've seen in this league in recent years. What's the best plan for trying to keep those guys from just running all over the place?
Well, I heard that if you just onside kick every time, and then you are
right.
That might work. Of course, on the onside kick deal, you got to score. You're only assured of one onside kick during the course of the game, potentially. I think they need to play a lot of zone defense against them and try to keep the receivers in front of them. Make them go have 8 or 10 play drives and not 1 or 2 play drives. I think that's one thing. The other thing is Tennessee has to run the ball with some deal of efficiency. They also have to convert a lot of third downs just to keep the football. They got to play keep away a little bit like what the Texans did to Kansas City and beating them in the NFL last week. They've got to possess the football a lot, try to run a whole lot more plays. The other thing is they got to have about +3 in the turnover ratio. And by the way, Alabama leads the SEC in turnover margin at +8.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Jimmy Himes is our guest from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Well, Jimmy, I know you talked a little bit about the quarterback situation, but it just seems like to me after the way JG played there at the end, you know, when he was out there, even though they were conservative, that it was positive and that if you, you know, I know his concussion may not be as bad, but maybe going against Alabama, that you go with JG and see how it all works out. And then if he gets injured, then you go back to Maurer or something like that. To me, just playing on the safer side when you know this guy is actually on the uptick and showing that he can actually get everything done as a freshman quarterback, he's probably your future, at least this year.
Well, you got to figure that if Maurer plays, he's going to get hit, right?
Right.
Yeah, studies have shown that if you have one concussion, you're more susceptible to another. And so I'll say this. I think if he gets cleared, he's going to probably trot out there. And I don't know if he'd start because he's practiced some, but he hadn't been involved in any contact stuff. Now, look, quarterbacks don't get contact anyway. But I don't know how many reps he's had with the first unit and how prepared they think he might be. If I were in that situation, I'd probably let Maurer sit another week to make sure he is completely healthy, even though he gets cleared, and go with Garantano. Garantano's been in that situation before. He's played in hostile environments. He's played on the road against really good football teams. So I'd probably go with him. Look, your chances of winning are very good anyway, right? is a 35-point underdog. So I'd be more likely to go with Gantano as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, the running game has shown a little bit of life. I know this is Alabama, but they haven't been the defense of old. Do you think they'll try to slow this game down and at least attempt to run the football a little bit more than they have in the past, even if it's like 3rd and 8 and they go, oh, why are they running the ball? Because they're trying to slow this game out, keep the clock running.
I do. I think that that'll be something they would try to do. And in fact, heck, they had some 3rd and 8s against Mississippi State and ran the football. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that that would be something they would look at doing is trying to control it. Now, Alabama's defense isn't what it used to be. They start 4 true freshmen on defense. Now, they give up, 336 yards a game. Their run defense isn't as good as it used to be. They give up a whopping 17 points a game, which is high for them. It's pretty good for a lot of other teams. Their defense, I think some of those numbers are a little bit skewed because in the fourth quarter, they're not playing many starters, including 2 of their quarterbacks. But they have outscored opponents 192 points in the first 3 quarters, and it's like 45-37 in the fourth quarter. That's because they're beating people, in a lot of cases, pretty bad. And I'm not going to say all the numbers are skewed, but a lot of the numbers are skewed by teams getting a lot of their points and yards in the fourth quarter. And so I still think this is a solid defense. It's not a great Alabama defense, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about Kevion Bennett. I think he got a sack the last game, and I didn't realize that that's Cornelius Bennett's son, the Biscuit.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I did interviews and wrote an article. Tennessee had 6 players on their roster whose dads played in the NFL. And so we wrote an article about every one of them, and then we interviewed all of their dads on the air, including Cornelius Bennett. And except for one, there was one that declined to do an interview with us, and that was Nigel Warrior. He's the father. I'm sorry, Dale Carter, Nigel Warrior's dad. Mm. He's the only one that declined to do the interview. But we did a big piece on that 2 years ago about that with all of them. And Cornelius Bennett was very gracious, enjoyed visiting with him. And of course, one of the great all-time great football players at the University of Alabama.
Mm, no doubt about it.
Jimmy Himes, our guest, Sports Radio WNML. More with Jimmy on the way in just a moment. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We'll be right back.
Zone.
The Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors at 6:49. We continue our Friday morning visit with our friend Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville as Tennessee gets set to play at Alabama tomorrow night.
Jimmy, I assume this was sort of done tongue-in-cheek, maybe half-serious, but your longtime colleague, Knoxville columnist John Adams, suggested that Jeremy Pruitt basically take a knee on this game and rest the key players.
No, you can't do that. First off, what do you have, 67 scholarships?
Yeah, players? I know. I was going to say, who's going to play then?
Yeah, so now that is being facetious. Look, Tennessee doesn't have a real good chance to win this. I think we know that. We did have a guy that called yesterday, one of the fans. He said, hey, I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee wins it. And I said, well, I would be. you can't do that. You got to, and there was something Nigel Warry said the other day that was interesting. He said that he had talked to his dad a while back, and he said, his dad told him, he said, anytime you don't play hard, there's a chance of getting hurt. Well, anybody that you play has to play hard, but you can't bench your starting offensive line. Then which quarterback is going to get, hurt?
Yes.
So, yeah, that is silly to think that. But John has a tendency to be facetious with a lot of things, you're right, and that would be one of them. But you've got to go in there and give it a shot. Look, I understand that. So Alabama's won 12 in a row. 10 of those have been by at least 2 touchdowns. 8 have been by at least 20 points. You've only come close twice. 2009 was 12-10. 2015 was, 19-14. Other than that, you really didn't have much of a chance, but you still got to give it a puncher's chance. What if South Carolina done that when they played Georgia?
Yeah.
Hey, let's just bench all of our guys. Oh, well, then maybe you don't win a double overtime. So, look, I don't think Tennessee has much of a chance, but you cannot go in with that mindset.
Bama has a really good offensive line. Mm-hmm. And you had, obviously, Tennessee's rush defense last week was exceptionally good. How do you think, and without Toa Toa for the first half, how do you think they're going to hold up against Bama's offensive front?
It certainly hurts not having Toto because he's really good. He and Betuli, I think, have been by far their best linebackers. And that includes Darrell Taylor, who I don't think has played up to his standard so far. But I think that that's going to be difficult. The thing is, though, with Alabama, they have become a pass first, run second team. And so I did ask Saban about averaging, 176 yards a game, and did that bother him any? And he said basically the deal is to be efficient when you run. So they're averaging 5.3 yards a carry. That's pretty efficient. So I don't think he seemed to be too bothered by that. But I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama runs for over 150 yards. The problem is they may throw for 350. And I don't know that I think Tennessee will come close to containing Alabama's run game like they did Mississippi State.
Excuse me. One of the I've been watching the history of the SEC.
Yeah.
And, Jimmy, one of the really extraordinary things about Bear Bryant was that he adapted, through the years. He went from a traditional offense to the wishbone. I mean, he wasn't afraid to change. And Nick Saban has been really pretty much the same way. We've seen that offense evolve from a pretty traditional pro set to what they're doing right now. Through the years, you've covered that league now for 30, almost 40 years. What really stands out to you? What impresses you about Nick Saban?
What you're saying is his ability to adapt. And he really doesn't want to do it this way. But he also realizes he's got, the greatest quarterback in the history of Alabama. You've also got an incredible receiving core, maybe the best receiving core in the history of Alabama. And he gets it that you're not going to win a whole lot. What was that LSU-Alabama score a few years ago? It was like 6-3 or 9-3 or something like that. That doesn't happen anymore. It's not going to happen anymore. And the game has changed. The rules have changed to help in that regard a little bit. So while he was critical of the hurry-up offense, right, because he said it might lead to more injuries.
Ian Bielema.
And who's running hurry-up some. So he has adapted. He's taking advantage of his personnel. Defensively, he's probably doing pretty much the same stuff, but offensively, he's not. It's way different. But you know what's going to be interesting, Mark? Tua's going to go pro, right?
Yeah.
What are they going to do next year? They're not going to have a quarterback that can throw it all over the park. Now, they'll still have very good receivers, depending on who goes pro and who stays. But I'll be curious if he tries to go back a little bit to what he used to do, because he's not going to have the quarterback, I don't think.
He's got Tua's brother.
Well, the only thing about his brother and this similar is where they spell the last name. I do not think that anybody, including his brother, is going to be able to pitch it around the park like that. So I'll be curious to see how much he goes back to running the football and playing more of that I formation, hard nosed football that he used to.
SEC hoops poll had Tennessee fifth.
Yeah.
Do you think that's about where they should be to start the season?
That's about right. I'm one of those that is not as optimistic as others. I think they're a borderline NCAA tournament team, and I think they're going to be hard-pressed to win 20 games. Now, a lot of people think that's bull, that they've got too many, that they're too good. I don't think Tennessee's going to be very good inside. I don't see where they're going to get scoring inside, defense inside, rebounding inside. And so I think that replacing those four guys that went to the NFL is going to be really hard. And then you look at their schedule. And then the SEC is still going to be good. And I know that they lost a lot of good players in this league, but the league will still be good. The teams ahead of Tennessee, I agree with every one of them. There's not a team behind Tennessee that I think, they should be ahead of them. I don't really know that I think Alabama or anybody else should be ahead of them. So I think they're picked about right. And I think being fifth in this league makes you a borderline NCAA team. You're not as good overall as the league as you were a year ago. You're still good, but not as good. So I think that's about right. And I think if they can get to 20 wins, this coaching staff's done a very good job.
Jimmy, as we finish up, some final thoughts on tomorrow night's game.
Well, I think that Alabama's going to have their way with the passing game. Tennessee's secondary, I don't think, can keep up with them. Although the secondary has had some good moments, I just don't see anybody keeping up with that team. And I'll be curious to see if Tennessee plays more zone defense to try to keep those receivers in front of them and force them to go 8 or 10 play drives. And the other thing from Tennessee's perspective is how well do they convert on third down and how well do they possess the football? If they don't do that well, they don't have a chance.
Jimmy, great as always. We'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. That's Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville every Monday and Friday right here on the Wake Up Zone. It's a later start than normal tomorrow night, 8 o'clock for Tennessee and Alabama. Third Saturday in October.
Midnight. Yeah, I know.
Bama's won 12 straight in that series.
That's yes.
I could give a about all that.
Okay.
You think Tennessee can keep it close?
I don't know.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I can usually, like, figure out a way to make a case for pretty much anybody against anybody, but this game doesn't seem like a good recipe.
34.5-point underdog.
That's amazing.
Over-under, Mark. Give us a little insight on Mark's guaranteed. What?
I don't know.
It's on Friday.
You just, I mean, they could put it, they could feed you a 60 burger. You know, Alabama's so explosive. And the Tennessee game means something to them still. I know it's not the Iron Bowl. It's not LSU. But there's a lot of tradition tied to that game. It's a cigar game.
Man, but I didn't get the answer. He didn't answer not one part of that question.
Over under. You mean the game total?
The total is 61.
Well, no, I mean who over under? Like, will they get 35 or more?
Oh, okay.
Or under? You think will they win by
35
or more or less?
Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee probably ends up covering in this game because I think they're going to score 17 to 20 points. But still, you know, Alabama is just lethal.
Well, what I wanted to hear was the third stringers are going to be in for Alabama. Then they're going to lower the score, and it's barely going to get under the 35. And that's going to be like, oh, man, all the gamblers will be so pissed.
Yeah, they'll be sad.
That's what I was thinking.
Alabama's been terrible against the line this year. I think Texas A&M game, I think it was the first game they covered this season.
They were talking about that on air during the game, too, by the way. Well, that's just where we've gotten to at this point.
We have gotten to there.
Believe me, a lot of people care.
It's not just Brent.
This is amazing to me. Was, wow.
It's not just Brent Musburger
making
veiled references anymore.
Money.
Right. 6:58, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. On the way shortly, we'll have our keys to the game for the Titans and Chargers. Mark and Blaine will have those for us. More of the show coming up next, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Be right back.
Every day.